All right, everyone, get more DC on RMD and DC discussions when you pledge or subscribe to our Patreon page. Head over to patreon.com/rainmandigital and pledge $5 or more a month and gain access to a plethora of additional podcast discussions on Batman, Doom Patrol. Perhaps maybe we'll do a Swamp Thing discussion in the near future on Alan Moore's run. We'll see. We have things planned and in the works. So head over to patreon.com/rainmandigital and pledge.
Sometimes the man of your dreams turns out to be a monster.
On RMD, the Swamp Thing edition contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, please do not continue to listen.
The Defender of the Green.
All right, hello everybody. Welcome to DC on RMD, the Swamp Thing edition. I am Michael Flores, your host, and I have taken the reins for this show that I'm calling the Finale Discussion Part 2. We had already recorded it before, but Bobby did something wrong with the mechanics, I think.
Gremlins in the studio.
I'm going to blame him, and he'll probably punch me in the face when he walks into the studio later this week. But yes, he was here, Steve. I mean, I don't want people to think that he was being a bum for this finale. He was here. He did a fantastic show. And I pull the audio, and the audio is all fucked up. You can't hear people's voices. Everybody sounds like the chipmunks. So here we are again in the studio for take two on the finale discussion of Swamp Thing titled. What is the title? Loose Ends.
Loose Ends.
Loose Ends.
And believe me, there are a lot of loose ends.
Well, they tried to get all the loose ends taken care of.
Did they? I mean, it felt more like they just kind of took that a loose end and they just kind of, all right, cut it. I take my scissors and just, there we go. Take it care of.
Take it care of. Pretty much.
I hear a buzzing in my head. I'm going to leave town. See you later.
See you later.
Come on, Blue Devil.
That's it.
You're killing me.
That's it.
I have never been so torn about a finale. And I know you guys have some very passionate thoughts as well, but you take a show that just was beautiful. I'm just going to say it. Beautiful on almost every level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It had heart. It had soul. Artistically, it had a beautiful set designs, beautiful cinematography, fantastic acting. All of it was working together. And then for us to just get an episode that wasn't horrible, but the fact that the story just felt rushed and they needed to end it, it just made me feel so sad that this is what a fabulous series amounted to.
Well, the thing is, you can't blame anybody for how they ended it because we all know about the drama.
Oh, we can blame somebody. We can blame somebody. That accountant that didn't file the proper paperwork.
Yes, the one that likes Batman a lot.
Yeah, can we start a change.org to hunt him down? Let's start a change.org petition to hunt down that accountant.
Because like for the entire series, we've discussed the problems behind the scenes and what they were up against.
Yeah.
And we were all hoping that they can overcome it.
And it sounded like they were going to because
they were on their way
with the guy who was cast as Swamp Thing proper.
Listened to our
Derek
past
Mears.
Shows.
Yes.
Before covering the last one. And every single episode, you can tell that all three of us were in unison saying how great the show was. And mm-hmm. I believed it. I truly still felt before this last episode that, hey, they can do this.
It was getting a little shaky maybe on the last one, and we started, I think, feeling a little bit of rumblings.
But we were like going.
But we thought it could.
We thought it would go through the finish line properly.
Yeah.
No, it's like, you know, 100 yards out, 50 yards out, you sprained and broke your fucking leg.
And then you scorpioned yourself right into the dirt.
Yeah, and then broke your dick.
And then broke your dick.
just to add that misery.
Yeah. Looking at what we got, it's not terrible, but I feel like what they should have done, and I spoke with Bobby about this before the previous recording of the finale, what they should have done was if I was Verhaeden, I would have said, okay, studio, we're going to be closed. We're going to be we're going to be dropped to 10 episodes. All right. Yeah, I'll do my best. You want me to make everything work? Okay. I would have continued to produce the episodes as is. Yeah, I would have done exactly what's on script. I would have ended it. And then because you have the DC Universe app, you could just release the last three episodes in script format, because the people watching this on DC Universe will read those scripts. This isn't regular network television where you have your mother who's 50 years old and CSI Miami got canceled. She doesn't give a shit. But people that are subscribing to the DC Universe app are very likely to say, oh, the last three episodes on script. Let me read this.
Yeah.
That's what I would have done.
And it could have, in doing that, could have created a little bit of a groundswell movement where people could have, you know, made enough of a stink, just like we talked about in previous episodes, like Firefly, where it ended and people were like, what the shit? You aired it out of order. This is bullshit. Right. And then they came back and they made a really, really decent film.
The problem that I see it now, though, is like because the way they ended it. Remember, we've been talking about, oh, there's going to be a Swamp Thing movie.
Yeah.
This does nothing to set it up, in my opinion.
Well, they're not going to.
It would have been connected at all, which I'm guessing it wouldn't have been.
It's not going to be connected.
No.
It's not going to be connected. Why would they do that? Why would they make a Swamp Thing mainstream film?
Why would they make
sense? Connect it to. Yeah. This is Warner Brothers, David.
Yeah. And it's like, you really.
It's like, I don't know what that means. What is that? Explain that.
That's why
did
I
you
was.
Did you take a shit finally? Like, what does that mean?
It means like, that shit is just sticking there. It's just stuck there, you know?
Yeah.
You like want to push that out really hard.
But you don't want to push too hard because you can get a hernia.
You get a hemorrhoid.
You get a hemorrhoid.
Yeah.
But like.
I'm happy we got it. You know, I'm happy we got a properly executed until the end Swamp Thing incarnation. Like, had we not had this, I don't think anybody could have ever thought we could have gotten something so good or unique or cleverly created and made it such a genre piece. I don't think we could have ever imagined that. Anyway.
You're right.
Yeah,
and absolutely.
And then to get it feels so good until the end.
Until the end.
Yeah.
And that's
like having sex and then like you're about to finish and then your mom calls and you see her name pop up.
No, you finish. Why would you answer?
Well, you look at the phone sometimes and you see mom come across the screen. You just like you go right back down to zero.
If I'm banging, the last thing I'm doing is answering or looking at phones.
Okay, but sometimes because of the way of the world and technology has a hold on me. I look.
Hold on. I'm mid-pump. Hold on, babe. Hold on.
But this
well, sometimes
honestly,
the phone's next to you, and you just see it. I'm not trying to be distracted. And if I see mom anything, I'm going right down to zero. And if you don't, then you have to do some soul-seeking or soul-searching.
Soul-searching. But you really have to put this – the way they ended it, for me, do you guys think that basically just how bad of a taste the ending left you?
Mm-hmm.
This will go down as an example of like series that have terrible endings that could ruin the series by one episode.
Okay. So for us, I think everyone watching right now and anyone who watches in the next 6 months, they're going to be like, they're going to give it the benefit of the doubt because chances are they know exactly what happened.
Right. Because of the news and everything that was shared about it.
Right. But in 3-4 years, people are going to scratch their head and be like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah.
Wow. What a bad show. Because the last three episodes, if you weren't invested, those last three episodes, if you didn't know what was happening. Now, I'm not going to say the last three episodes were horrible, but it started to fall apart somewhere at the end. Now, I'll take that back. It started falling apart for me around episode 8. I was like, okay, things are happening a little too fast. It wasn't bad. There were still B-plus episodes, but you felt that something was off. You knew something was wrong. If you have any type of intuition and you're dialed into the show, you can tell that around episode 8, something happened because the acting falls apart. The pacing falls apart. And those are things you would expect from a show that has been run by a moron. But if you watch the first 7 episodes, you're like, this show is fantastic. And then you're like, it's like almost being produced and run by a completely different group of people. Mm-hmm. And it's not. So you have to kind of realize, well, what happened? What, Jesus Christ, this entire show just.
Team morale went in the shitter. That's what happened.
The thing that was sad
I don't blame
was,
them. Can you imagine?
I was the type of person that basically up to episode 9, Steve can vouch for this. Episode 9, I actually said this is episode 9 was my favorite
and
episode.
Eight, and 8 was mine.
Yeah.
But
and then
they're not bad episodes individually,
yeah,
but when you take into account
the whole arc,
it makes you – it forced me to actually rewatch everything. When I got that – when I watched that ending, the last episode, I actually was so shocked. I had to – I told Bobby and Steve in the prior recording, I had to rewatch starting at episode 5 to see what the hell did I miss.
Well, and I mentioned that when we recorded last – like I want to do that because, you know, in the traditional format of these binge shows at this point where you can sit down and watch them all – DCU isn't like that, where it's actually a weekly episodic situation. I can't sit down and watch this back to back and binge it like I would something else because of that sourness of that ending.
Of the ending.
I can't go back and bring myself to do it right now. I will eventually do it, but I've got to take a breather.
Yeah, you got to take a breather. And
You didn't miss anything, Dave, because I went back and rewatched these episodes. You didn't miss anything. The problem is that let me take that back. We all missed something. It's called three episodes. All missed it. And that's when you start picking apart this episode and you start wondering, okay, well, how did this go from, you know, A to D? You can start realizing, well, this is probably what they had to cut. Like the story with, what's his name? The guy that fell into a lunacy.
Laronic Man?
Woodrow.
Yeah.
He went from 0 to 50.
Crazy pants, yeah.
And I'm like, well, when did that happen? Dude, you were a level-headed scientist, you can definitely see your passion. And when that you have that type of passion, sometimes you throw out morality. So that was set up. But he went from a loving husband. I love you. I will do anything for you. And that was his saving grace, was that he was very loving to his wife. And then in the final episode, he went from normal scientist that was very passionate about his work to lunatic.
Well,
he went straight into insanity mode.
The thing, though, I liked what happened to Woodrow at the end. That was one of the only positives of the episode, because it reminded me of, and I told Steve and Bobby this in the prior recording, it reminded me of like Mr. Freeze from the animated series.
The tragic.
You know, husband who sees his wife pretty much die, which Woodrow did.
Okay.
I mean, his wife OD'd on that medication, ended up being I forgot what the term was. That
essentially
coma.
A paraplegic.
And it's a real thing. Yeah. It's a real thing. If you know the
locked-in
syndrome, it's a real thing. And I believed that he snapped.
No, I
truly
but,
believe
but it
that.
Happened
I,
in such a compressed yes. time frame that yeah. they didn't get to tease it out
yeah, they
and
needed
show
it to
that.
Breathe.
I don't think anybody can flip on a dime in what seemed like a 24-hour period.
Yeah, that's my issue.
24-hour period, yeah.
I feel like if we had those additional 3 episodes, we could have built up that...
That slow degradation.
Between him and his wife, because his wife was already setting it up. I want to say 2 episodes prior, she was already setting it up. I had a dream, and in this dream, you were the monster.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
was the start of his turn. That was signaling the audience, okay, this guy, if he's not careful, it's going to end very badly for him. But then suddenly, we didn't see any in between. He just went from, I'm a scientist, I love my wife, and... to completely consumed and only interested in the work. I don't disagree with you, Dave. I do like that story, the Mr. Freeze storyline with him and his wife. I've always been drawn to that. I felt like that's a touching story that a lot of people can relate to.
Yeah.
But they lost those 3 episodes, and you can tell that they lost the narrative that would justify mm-hmm. his insanity.
And it was I do see your point too, where it's like you need more time with it, because we just jumped from him escaping the Blue Devil scene, where basically the compound gets attacked by the Blue Devil.
Yeah.
He grabs his specimens and runs. And then we suddenly cut to the house. I definitely can see there that basically in between that and the house, you had this time for it to breathe, where he comes to the realization what happened to his wife. It just was like what you said. It felt very
We needed a break.
A breather.
And that's how most of this episode felt like for me. It felt like, oh, wow, we got there really fast.
Yes.
You know, with the whole fight scene with Swamp Thing and the soldiers from the Conclave. It just felt, everything felt rushed. Now, I like how we got there. I didn't have a problem with Swamp Thing's reaction to finding out about who he is for real, and that he is essentially dead and his consciousness has been put into a shell, an elemental shell.
No, I think that was beautifully executed.
Oh, yes.
Faithful to the source material beyond what I think anybody could have hoped for. I mean, it was well done.
But definitely with that, even, you could have actually done even more with that.
You could have.
But Verhaeden had to, he had to choose, yes, and he had to choose his battles wisely. And I felt like he figured, hey, the show is called Swamp Thing. Let me focus and do my very best to make sense of Alec Holland's story and conclude this. We have to have at least him have some type of resolve with who he is. And I loved every part of it. And that was my favorite part of the previous episode as well, that bled into that. It was the emotions. Mm-hmm. And they played with, again, going into the fact that this is essentially a horror piece. They played with that body horror and took it up, I mean, in a level that I didn't expect them to do with these, with a season that was cut down by three episodes. The fact that they not only gave us in the previous episode the scenes where he's witnessing his body parts being ripped from his body, but then coming to the realization that he has no body, that it's all just, it's faux, it's fake, it's made up by his mind, and his consciousness is the only thing that's actually alive. I mean, that's true fucking body horror. That's horrific. Can you imagine waking up and realizing you have no body? It's the reason why RoboCop hurts my soul.
Well, it's not just even RoboCop. It harkens back to Mary Shelley and the Frankenstein.
Yeah, yep. I mean, I wake up every morning and feel like I don't have a soul. So
I wake up every morning hating my small penis. I'm like, Jesus Christ, that's
look
body
how small
horror
my
right
soul
there.
Is. Yeah.
By soul, I made wiener.
But you brought up a great point with Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. I agree that... I mean, that's the, in my opinion, yes, it goes farther back in literature, but her story, that piece of Gothic fiction is the cornerstone of body horror.
And the theme of questioning oneself, because at the end of the day,
who you are, your identity.
Who you are. It's one of those important things that I'm glad, one of the things overall with the series, they've stuck to the Saga of Swamp Thing, which was questioning one's self. That's what Saga of Swamp Thing's all about. It's Swamp Thing having to come to terms with who he is. He is not Alec Holland because Alec Holland died, but he's a product of Alec Holland.
And you can take it a step further. It's
what he's an avatar.
What does it mean to really be human?
Or be.
And it reminds me a lot of how Battlestar, that's the constant question. What is humanity? What does it mean to be human and act human? And what's interesting, at least with Battlestar, the very last episode was clearly divisive amongst everyone watched it. Yeah. I don't think that you will get divisiveness out of the season finale of this. It's just, I'm sure people will love it, but it won't be divisive like that last episode was, or some last episodes of certain series are, where you either really love it or you really hate it. I think this is just... it just kind of didn't stick the landing.
It didn't stick the landing. It basically, you were dealing with something that, a theme that basically is really passionate and powerful, and essentially they just try to wrap it up in a nice, easy bow. And when you're dealing with such a complex theme as questioning as oneself.
Well, themes plural, because we still have all the other the rot and all those other things that
all those that play into it.
And we didn't
What happened to that?
Nothing.
What happened to that? That was a thing. And the rot was supposed to actually.
We should just forget it even happened. Well, what's the rot? I don't even know what it is.
Oh, the rot is the darkness.
I'm joking. I'm saying, what is it? Because we never learned.
That's true.
I mean, there's a lot of problems, and it sucks because, you know, Avery's story was just getting good with his connection to the swamp, and that he's almost like him and his family are like the sworn enemy of the swamp. They were just getting that started, and we never even learned why the swamp wanted his father dead. Yes, we can surmise he's a piece of shit. He didn't respect nature. Yes, but why was it so personal? And what actually attacked him? And why is the swamp magical in the first place? None of this has been... you know, expanded upon.
I need multiple seasons to get to that explanation, and I'm not going to get it.
And the problem was they actually had such really great characters, because Avery was one of those great characters. Mm-hmm. I have to say, by the end of the series,
Patton is a good actor. He does not get the credit he deserves, and Sunderland, he plays this role so good.
Yeah. I love the fact in the very end, Sunderland, the whole point about Sunderland is he's a person who basically wants to control everything. So what does he do? The last remnant of his control is the sheriff.
And you know why he wants control? Because that's just a beautiful story in itself. I mean, Avery's story can be summed up to a small boy who's pathetic, who lives under his father's thumb, who was a victim of abuse, and his whole entire purpose is to have control because he has none. Even in his relationship with his wife, who's in control? His
who's
wife.
Actually more evil than him.
He's not had any control, real control, his entire life.
And even with the entire thing he set up with the conclave, he loses it. I mean, that's a great story, and I feel like it was fantastic ingredients for the next season to see what he would become and how he would, you know, would he take the respect? Would he continue to be this pitiful person? I mean, such a good story. That's another positive I definitely want to say, is I feel like even though we definitely went from A to maybe C with his storyline, I felt like they did right when it comes to his storyline.
To his storyline.
And same thing with Swamp Thing, and same thing with, or I should say, I feel like Swamp Thing, Alec Holland, and Avery Sunderland were the two characters that I felt like really that made sense. Yes, there's things we don't know, but that's because we're not getting a second season. But at least I felt like their stories, their immediate arcs came to a conclusion of sorts. There was resolve. We can kind of walk away from the season thinking, okay, we can see what would happen to them in the future.
But but we didn't get resolve around his wife. She's still in the loony bin.
We don't even know what her deal is. Does she actually commune with the dead?
Yeah, Xanadu said she paid a price. What was the price?
It's getting stuck in the loony bin, apparently.
Yeah.
But even before Xanadu opened this portal, they never. Yeah. This is part of the this right here. This whole storyline with Xanadu is probably a victim of being cut by three episodes, because that whole storyline went nowhere.
Went nowhere.
Why did Teresa, is that her name? Sunderland? The
wife?
The wife. What's her name? Maria.
Maria.
We don't know why Maria could commune with the dead. We got the idea that there was some type of, that she had some type of history, because she was seeing her daughter long before she went to Xanadu to open up this portal. They never explained it, and it felt like they were going right back to it at the end by having her daughter be there with her to console her and obviously influence her in some way, which would have been her story for the second season. But that story just fell flat. And if you take all of those little pieces and put them together throughout those last 10 episodes of the season, it probably amounts to maybe 20 minutes of story.
Yeah, and that's what ticked me off too, because like, where was the kid? Remember, we started the series centered on that kid that basically knew who Swamp Thing was.
She just disappeared.
Poof. She gone. She was. We talked about it time and time again, and you know, his wife brings her in. She gets possessed by the dead daughter, and then just disappears, and we don't ever hear so much as a fart from her.
And I was
again.
Hoping that at this episode, we'd at least see something of her. Maybe she's like hiding in the darkness, and the darkness, she's the embodiment of the darkness.
Yeah.
Now. Okay. Nothing. Great setup for season. Just like what you said, Mike. Great setup for season two. You just set up one of the biggest villains, but you didn't see anything.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the logic problems. And when you're cutting down your script order or your episode order, you're going to have those types of issues, because you can sometimes fix situations without them feeling illogical. There's a lot of illogic as well. What episode was it where Abby saw Sunderland's daughter, her friend? Was that episode 8?
No, it was earlier. I think 5 or 6.
It was around 5 or 6.
Even that made no sense to me. So you see water, like you're in an aquarium, essentially. There's water outside the window. You see ghosts and spirits, and you're just like, what's going on? Nothing's going on. What is this? What's happening? I don't understand. You can't possibly believe that your daughter's back. Bitch, you just saw it. She was swimming outside the window.
Right.
There was a lot, and possibly that was only a problem because maybe they were going to explain it, but this is the process of, you know, cut.
Well, and it almost begs to question, like, how much do you try to pack in before you go, maybe we need to dial back a little bit? Maybe there was a lot of layers and a lot of threads that were being woven, and it maybe was a little bit too much. Again, they didn't have the foresight to know that they were going to get axed.
Yeah, but, and I'm glad you brought up the whole thing about illogical choices and stuff like that, because like one of the biggest points that me, you, and Bobby, Steve got into was what the sheriff has to be the worst law official ever to all of a sudden, mm-hmm. I'm going to get in my
Jessica
car,
Beals,
not notice someone in the back seat of my car.
Hey, don't criticize her. Okay. She's a keeper. Lucilia. Yeah. She can do whatever she wants,
but mm-hmm. dude,
she can be a shitty cop. I don't care.
That was so, and especially when Avery just like sits up.
David, did you not hear me? Enough. Quit talking bad about her.
The thing is, I can never watch that actress in anything without visually or mentally picturing her in four rooms saying the word kielbasa and one-eyed monster. Like, it, oh my God, it's so hot and sexy.
What about L Word? She was in the L Word where she was a lesbian getting after it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she is a keeper.
Smoke show, yeah.
Avery, you could never bag that. Come on.
No, he couldn't.
I don't know what was going on there. Listen, I like Avery. I have respect for him. But the guy didn't even have money. He didn't even have power. What does she see in him? Come on.
He must have a big dick.
No, come on.
He has to. I mean, he produced a half black kid.
Yeah, it was a half black child, so probably
the
Avery
bottom
is,
half of Avery is
Avery
all black.
Is black.
That's the only explanation.
Oh my God. Yeah, so that story also came to an odd conclusion, and obviously, based on that ending credit sequence, her son.
I don't get it.
What? Douche loser? What's his name?
No, that's a good name. I think that's.
Yeah, douche loser. Matt, right? Matt. He should have died. I still don't understand what they were trying to do with him. I thought maybe he would become a bad guy. I'm like, okay, well, so they're trying to work kind of slow burn.
Can I actually say it? In the comic, he is a villain.
Okay.
he turns into a villain.
Then they were probably trying to work towards that because there was no sympathy when it came to that character for me. I didn't care about him. Nope. I felt like he was just a shitbird. Dude, you killed Alec Holland. Can we ever actually like a character that killed the lead?
I think it was interesting when he was trying to woo Abby early on, but honestly, with the way he ended his arc anyways because of the series ending, when he had that car accident, we could have just lost him then and there, and it would have been no skin off anybody's
ass. No skin off our teeth.
Like, who cares? Kill him.
And that's what irritates me the most about that end credit sequence is we jump to Matt running in after he just had a huge car accident.
Well, I guess
so. He's Superman.
Well, I think the idea is that time passed. I think that's what they're trying to say. I think they're trying to allude to the fact that, hey, time has passed. And this is what happened. In fact, I bet you that was never supposed to be an end credit sequence. I bet you that was like episode 13.
Probably. It was probably like the closer, like the cliffhanger, and then boom, end season. Now you got to wait 6 months.
Yeah.
But, you know, we talked about it when we recorded last, him killing the sheriff and then putting her in the trunk and then sinking her ass into the bottom of the
swamp.
That
was uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable. It just, I wondered so much, would we have seen her mutate or turn into something had we got a second season? Would she have come back to come after Avery and now she's some kind of
monster,
swamp monster creature?
I have a feeling you're on the right track, Steve. That's kind of what I got. The fact that there's no reason for us to watch how she died.
It was set up.
Very painful. There was so much agony in her death. And usually TV shows don't draw attention to that unless they were setting something up. And I have a feeling that there was going to be some type of vengeance aspect for the following season, that she would become some type of supervillain that's after Avery. Something dealing with the swamp. She would become part of the evilness. Or rot, something.
Yeah, something. Maybe she
would be in the embodiment of the swamp that hates Avery. Something.
Ooh.
And see, that would be a great follow-up for season two. But
it was just so in her face, her death scene. There was no reason to show it. It showed a side of Avery as well that we haven't quite seen. Yes, we've seen him murder the banker. Okay, he's a bad guy. We get that Avery's a bad guy, but now he did something so sadistic. Mm-hmm. A woman he allegedly loves, a woman that he had a child with, a woman that he proclaimed he loved a few short minutes ago.
Yeah.
And then he just sits there and watches as the car sinks into the water, hearing her scream.
Well, and he could have just, you know, when he stabbed her through the back of the seat, he could have just left her ass sitting there.
Yes.
And then taken the car. But no, he had to pull the machete back out of her and pick her out of the car and put her in the trunk. There was a lot of effort there.
Yeah, and that's why I feel like they were doing something.
They were setting up something.
Oh, definitely. They just drew way too much attention to it. Well, and plus, you don't hire Jennifer Beals for a role like that.
Not Jessica, yeah.
Wait, what?
I said Jessica Beals, right? It's Jennifer, you're right.
Oh, yeah. You don't hire an actress. She's a known actress. Yeah. You don't hire her and be like, all right, we're gonna kill you off in some brutal way for no reason. No, there's got to be a payoff for the actor as well. She's not going to sign on to a role to be, you know, done away with in such a manner, and then there's no real payoff for that character. Because when you look at even her character arc, it's incomplete.
It feels abrupt.
A lot of the characters besides Swamp Thing and I would say besides Swamp Thing and besides Woodrow,
well, and
everyone seems incomplete.
Well, yeah, and especially Abby, who I considered our lead. You know, she was kind of our lead throughout this entire thing. I don't consider Swamp Thing the lead. It's the title character, but it's Abby. And she disappeared for such a huge chunk of the last episode.
Well, not only that, she gets reduced into someone who basically is the love interest of Swamp Thing. Mm-hmm. When we initially got introduced to Abby, and she was this really cool, kick-ass character, no nonsense, can handle herself. The driving force behind the first five episodes was Abby.
Yeah.
And suddenly she gets reduced to, you can't give up because I love you, even though you're a tree.
Right. I'm going to do everything I can to save you. I love you. We got to protect him. We got to save him.
Exactly.
Well, they're trying to play up that love story, which is such a big part of Swamp Thing. Agreed. You can't have Swamp Thing without that love story. But the sad thing is, and that's a problem that I had with the entire run of the show. And that probably has to do with the fact that they were trying to build it up slowly and they ran out of time. Because that love story for me just felt really rushed and unjustified.
And because it felt rushed and unjustified, to me, her feelings just come off very tree-huggery.
It's unjustified.
It's
unjustified. We don't understand why she's so connected and loves this guy so much.
Yeah, she didn't really spend a whole hell of a lot of time with him as Alec.
Yeah, all I have to say is those mushrooms and those spores she ingested must have been really good.
It was like the best psychedelic ecstasy love drug ever. She's hooked.
But that's bizarre because she may think she's seeing Alec, but she's got to know that she's fucking a root probably.
Right.
Like, you know, I just made my finger into my penis, but it's not really my penis, but this hallucinogenic makes you think.
Big green mushroom.
You see this little knot here?
You're fucking a stump, lady.
Yeah, it's bizarre to me. But the bizarreness goes with Swamp Thing, and I don't have a problem with that. Again, the issue with the love aspect is solely pacing.
Pacing and rushed. It was absolutely rushed, and that ruined it.
Yeah, and that was a problem since the first episode. So maybe Verhaeghe made some mistakes there because that was done well before he knew the show was going to get axed.
Yes.
All right, and another part of the episode that it was very disappointing was how Blue Devil's Blue Devil. How Blue Devil's story came to an end. Talk about the most anticlimactic story arc of all time.
Yes.
I mean, you have this entire buildup. I can't leave the swamp. I can't leave. His story was connected to one of my favorite characters of all time, the Phantom Stranger Phantom Stranger. And you don't explain the Phantom Stranger. You don't explain his purpose. There's just this whole confusion behind, does the Blue Devil even know what's going on? Because he makes this deal. but he doesn't know he makes a deal. And he doesn't know that the phantom stranger is the one who made the deal for him. Suddenly he realizes the demon mask is real, but didn't know when he made the deal. Then he's surprised in the hospital when the phantom stranger is there. He's, oh, the executive. But you alluded to the fact that you knew that you made some deal. But then you're surprised that he's connected.
There was a little bit of some holes there.
There's tons of holes
around his story. And it sucks because I guess, it's not very Hayden's fault per se because they got cut. But even before that, if you look at the entire lead up, there were so many holes and there was no way they were explaining it. The Phantom Stranger aspect literally makes no sense at all. They don't explain who he is, what he is. And yes, his story is so fucking deep and dynamic that you can't explain it right away. But when you write a TV show, you do not introduce a character without giving him a bit of closure and some explanation. They gave us nothing. Mm-hmm. If we didn't read comic books, we would have no idea what was happening and what his importance is. The only reason why we even know is because we read comic books. Imagine if you're just a regular TV viewer.
That's the rub right there.
That was the thing that Steve and Bobby pointed out, was the fact that if it wasn't for my knowledge as a hardcore comic book fan of Phantom Stranger, of Justice League,
Dark, you would have no idea.
You have no idea. And that's what stings for me the most, is because, like, I Am Zeroing playing Danny was one of my favorite points of this whole series.
Dude, who would have thought that Ian Ziering can pull off a role like that?
Yeah.
And nobody.
I cannot wait for him to team up with Swamp Thing, because that's what it's supposed to lead to. And then when you do the Phantom Stranger bit, I cannot wait for Phantom Stranger to team up with Swamp Thing again.
That Blue Devil scene in the prior episode was one of the coolest things I have ever fucking seen.
Yes. Or my favorite scene by far.
And it meant nothing.
And I still say, one of my favorite moments in this whole series was the Phantom Stranger's first appearance, when he shows up with the music, everything. So good. And the music harkens back to John Constantine and everything else. And the only reason basically the connection to Constantine and when Constantine arrives, that song that he plays, plays when Constantine shows up. So as a comic book fan, when we see that, we're supposed to actually think, oh, Constantine's here. No, it's the Phantom Stranger first. Then Constantine's going to show up. And it sets that up. And I'm like going, the only reason, when I look back at it now, the only reason why it became my favorite moment of the entire series was because I had that knowledge of, this is what the Swamp Thing mythos is all about. This is what Phantom Stranger does, Blue Devil means, and what it means for the relationships of Swamp Thing, Constantine, and all of them in Justice League Dark when they come together as a team.
Yeah, well, even leaving Justice League Dark out of it and the things that we did not see, the way they used him for Swamp Thing, I felt worked.
It worked.
How he helped him work through his issues.
And then to wrap it up, in the whole deal was just to save that one girl. It made no sense to me. That is something that the Phantom Stranger would... Wait a minute, why is this girl important to you? No reason. None.
Yeah, it didn't make a lot of sense. And it's really sad, because those are the moments where I look back, you know, as a fan of Swamp Thing, a fan of DC, a fan of Phantom Stranger, a fan of Blue Devil, and you're like, this is the show. This is the show that brought all that together.
Yep.
And it could have been one of the greatest DC TV shows of all time. And it amounted to not a lot.
Well, that being said, it still, I would argue, is one of the greatest DC TV shows of all time.
I don't disagree, Steve, especially because we're dealing in a world currently with so many avenues for TV shows. And look at the silver lining. They introduce characters, set and settings that they could use on any TV show now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look what they've done with Constantine. Everyone thought Constantine was done for. Matt Ryan's Constantine. Mm-hmm. And because of fan outcry, they have continually brought him into other DC TV properties. They have given him a permanent spot on Legends of Tomorrow. They are continuing his storyline. things that they start in the first season of Constantine, and they're now working that into his second season on Legends of Tomorrow. And there's rumors that he will eventually get his own series again. So because we're in this current landscape of streaming services and different ways to consume and digest TV, there's hope that Ian Ziering's Blue Devil and Mears' Swamp Thing seen again. Who knows? Maybe they close up shop here, and then in a couple of years, they're like, you know what? We introduced these characters. Let's just bypass the Swamp Thing season two, and let's do Justice League Dark. You never know.
You never know. And I think
or Phantom Stranger. And then they can help bring resolve to some of those loose ends through the Phantom Strangers TV show or the Blue Devils TV show. So this is the end. And that's one of the silver linings for me after watching this and being a little unhappy with some of these loose ends that just came to an abrupt end, I should say. Because, hey, the chances are pretty high that we may get some continuation in some way down the road.
And I don't think we'll ever see any of the CW shows, as much as I appreciate and love Flash in particular. We'll never see anything of this level or caliber across the board over on CW.
Yeah, because of the production value.
Yeah, you'll never see this there. You'll never get this much thoughtfulness, even though we didn't get the everything play out the way that we would have liked. You're never going to get this much thoughtfulness in a movie, because they just don't have the hours to put into it in a movie format to get that.
Plus, I don't think, the CW would never, ever do a true, honest-to-God horror.
Oh, series. No.
Like, the first five episodes of Swamp Thing was absolutely brilliant horror-wise in the genre piece. When you compare the first autopsy scene to the later autopsy scene, which we all agree that last autopsy scene was so important to Swamp Thing's character, but honest to God, that first autopsy scene is so much more shocking and scary,
terrifying.
It harkens back to stuff like Carpenter's Thing.
Yeah, you will never see anything like that on any major network. I think the only network that you could potentially ever see something like that on, again, major network.
The first season of Hannibal.
Yeah, I don't think it's that as horrific.
Have you watched it?
I've caught bits and pieces, but
they do some disgusting, disturbing things that I was shocked they did.
Mike, do you remember the first autopsy scene in Swamp Thing?
I'm not disagreeing with you guys. I feel like this is an opportunity that's very rare.
It's very rare.
Going back to Steve's original thought, when you were saying that the likelihood of seeing this on the CW is slim, you're absolutely right. And not just because of production, because the CW doesn't attract the talent needed to do this type of work. They don't.
They're
based out of Vancouver, and I mean, without sounding like an asshole, most of the key talent resides in Los Angeles.
Well, yeah, but a lot of the people travel, right? You know, the actors can travel.
Yes, but typically Vancouver productions, they are in Vancouver to save money.
Exactly.
And they use the people that are there because they don't have to worry about bringing people in and paying per diem. So there's a lot of reasons why we would never get that on the CW, and that's one of them. Cost, skill set, people don't want to travel and move from Los Angeles to work on a CW show. It's the reason why Supergirl lost, what's her name?
Abby McBeal.
Calista Flockhart.
Yeah.
Because she didn't want to move to Vancouver, because Los Angeles is where her career is at. And Supergirl lost, 50% of the players they had from the first season?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, I mean, even if you took it to kind of extended major networks, you could maybe get something like this on something like FX. Maybe.
Maybe. You could, maybe on FX.
Sci-Fi Channel, possibly, depending on who's producing it.
Yeah, it's just such a rare thing that happened. Maybe USA. USA used to be pretty risky back in the day, but it was such a rare thing to have happen and come together.
Yeah.
I just don't know if we'll ever see anything like it ever again. So from that perspective, like I said earlier, I'm so happy we got it because it is special.
It is.
That we got it. We got horror, and we got horror as a comic
book.
Wait,
a horror
here.
Or horror?
Horror.
Oh, I think it's a horror. I was like, we did? I missed out. When do we get a horror?
I think that's Abby.
Oh, David.
Ooh, I was going to say the sheriff.
How dare
anything.
You?
Abby didn't give up the goods, but the sheriff
did.
Oh,
she did to a root.
Oh, no, that's true. Yeah, sheriff to the root.
She was under a hallucinogen. She didn't know any better.
She didn't know any
well,
better.
Well, now you're saying Alec Holland's a rapist. Come on, Steve.
And, she, and, well, and Swamp Thing just roofied someone.
Mushroom roofies. Well, you know.
Well, all right. Before we wrap up the show, why don't we talk about something that absolutely hurt your soul? And then something that was a gem in this episode for you. And wrap that up into your final thoughts. Let's start with you, Steve.
That was absolutely hurting of my soul.
Yeah, something that you're just like, oh, why? Oh. If there isn't, then just let's talk about gem.
Yeah, I don't know if there's anything about it, any one specific thing. Even though we didn't see from Blue Double what I think we would have liked to have seen.
Mm-hmm.
I actually do like the closure that we knew he wanted to get out and he got out. There was a little bit of a, yeah, he got out. But I think overall the thing that kills me the most is just that we didn't get those three episodes. That's not the episode's fault. That's just the situation we find ourselves in. But the gem for me that that I walk away with was at least we got closure with Alex/Swamp Thing. At least we have that. And I can walk away happy knowing that he has closure for himself.
Yeah.
So all in all, I love the series. I just don't love the final episode.
All right, David.
One thing I think everyone knows, the one thing that ripped my soul was Danny. I didn't want Danny to leave because at the end of the day, then you're basically saying all Danny's deal was to save. I can't even remember the character's name. Liz.
Yeah, that's it.
And the importance of Liz was jazz hands. Nothing.
Yeah.
And I agree. I do like the fact that, hey, he got out.
wait, but, hold on. Was it for Liz? See, I didn't even get that.
Well,
was it Liz or Abby?
So I think in the grand, I think in the grand scheme of things, it was getting.
For Liz?
I think in the grand scheme of things, it was for Abby. But I think the personal, non-grand scheme was Liz. There was clearly something between the two of them since childhood.
And her story just got completely axed.
It just got axed.
Yeah.
And that's why, for me, anything connected to the Blue Devil and Danny, was the one that was a heartbreaker for me because there's so much you could do with it, especially since in episode 9 we had this badass reveal of Blue Devil and he beats the shit out of everybody and tears everybody a new one, and suddenly, okay, I'm out of here, folks, bye.
yeah
pretty much.
But one of the actual gems of the episode that I really like was actually surprising. I actually dug the Woodrow thing because it did do a lot for that character. It showed his breakdown, that kind of like an origin story. It was an origin story for the Floronic Man.
Yeah.
Which I thought his scenes were freaking creepy, him chopping up pieces of Swamp Thing.
But Dave, was it an origin story though for the Floronic Man? Because we didn't really see him.
Yeah, we did. We saw a really...
Let's take that end sequence out of there because it's not technically a part of the TV show.
But you have to now, though. Because
you have
to
take it.
You have to accept it as basically that's it.
You bend over and you take it, Michael.
That's an end credit sequence. I don't count.
You have to accept
you
it.
You have to accept
you
it.
Have to accept I will not it accept as the whole it. Thing. Because, and...
It was an origin story for nothing.
It was an origin story for a Power Rangers character.
Davy Jones?
Davy Jones.
character?
But like...
That was awful looking,
honestly,
too.
The whole story about Woodrow, I thought they handled properly.
It's Woodrow.
Woodrow.
Woodrow. Woodrow. And like, as I said, it harkens to something that, as a comic book fan, I really do like, that not a lot of stories kind of tread on is like almost like that Mr. Freeze type of element, making your villain sympathetic.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I felt sorry for Woodrow when
I did.
You know, he had this opportunity to save his wife. All he has to do is force feed her this, and she'll come out of the locked out.
She would have turned into a florotic woman.
We don't know that.
Of course, we know it.
We know it,
but he doesn't know it. He ate it,
and basically was playing with fire and knew it.
I feel great. You mean to tell me, take yourself out of it, Mike? Take yourself out.
Would I eat a piece of a? You tree man.
I give you a pill. You wake up the next morning, you feel like $100, like you are Superman.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
You don't see any side effects.
Do I know where the pill came from?
No.
No.
Then yes, I would take the pill.
I just gave it to you.
If you said, hey, it came from my doctor, it helps out, then I would take it. But Dave.
I don't take random pills from strangers.
He took. Well, if it's Percocet, maybe.
Well,
stupid. Dave, he took a piece of a sentient body parts,
which he doesn't consider himself sentient. Because remember, in the episode beforehand, he didn't look at Swamp Thing as a person. He saw it as a thing.
That's because he wanted to. He knew it was alive.
Yeah.
I didn't care about him at all.
Yeah. I think it's okay if you want to risk your own self, but to even consider for a moment you're going to, without any kind of testing or lab tests or anything, force this onto the woman that you allegedly love more than anything in the whole wide world seems really fucked.
But right, especially because that was a lot of cure, and at that moment you get interrupted. Without testing it.
You sound like a rapist. Like in that moment, it was okay. But then you get interrupted and all goes to
my mom called and I, oh, shit.
But honestly,
all right, what else, Dave? Come on. You're killing me with this.
Overall, that was my biggest like of this episode. And then overall with the series, as I said, I really do put this up there as one of the best superhero series out there. Even though the ending kind of left a sour note to me, just because of just like what you said, Steve, the sour taste.
Yeah.
Because you have this series that is so different. You'll never see this again with a horror movie
or
genre series that is also a superhero series.
I don't think we'll ever get anything like it. I think there's a potential you could. Maybe people could learn from this.
Yeah.
And
I'd hope
not very. I mean, this is strike two.
Yeah, he's fucked.
And I understand your point, Mike, of basically kind of like, hey, this there's good things. There's a silver lining and everything. But I really feel that this is a missed opportunity. They're not going to come back to it.
It was like
because it's too expensive.
Yeah,
it's way too expensive.
I think they could chop up some, give us a 6-episode season, condense some of the epicness, but keep the beauty of the show. They can find creative ways to make the show feel like it didn't lose anything and continue the story.
You think they can? I honestly don't.
I don't know if they can. I'll walk away feeling like I ate Swamp Thing's sour testicles.
They gave us an ensemble cast with so many people. If they were to
trim
the story and focus and isolate on a villain, Swamp Thing, and maybe a couple side stories, they had too many things going on.
And
that wouldn't be a bad thing if they had the budget. But if they don't have the budget...
They had the budget.
Well,
they didn't have the time. They didn't have the time to do it.
All right. So my final thoughts on this. I enjoyed the show. I agree with you guys for the most part. And even you, Dave, I was giving you shit about Woodrue. I love Kevin Durant. I think that guy is an amazing talent. He does not get enough credit. He has played so many different roles. I've never seen him play an intellectual before. He usually plays like a tough guy. So to see him play a role like this just makes me like him that much more. His story was interesting. I felt like there were some missed opportunities and it was slightly mishandled because of the episode order that got cut. So I'm not blaming anyone. I'm not blaming actors. I'm not blaming producers. I'm not blaming writers or directors. I'm blaming the studio. I'm blaming Warner Brothers. So if you want to get angry, and I do want to get angry, those are the people I blame for this fantastic show coming to an abrupt end and not giving us resolve and needed closure to many of our story arcs. That being said, I feel like this show will be remembered as a as the one that got away. So it will. Just like when people go back and watch Constantine, like, oh my God, this show's great. What happened? This is going to be one of those shows. People are going to watch it years down the road, and they're like, wow, this show had everything going for it. What the hell happened? And Verhaeden, probably, I mean, hopefully, he should be on suicide watch. I'm hoping he's on suicide watch, because he has had the opportunity to handle two of the funnest and coolest characters in DC canon. Constantine and Swamp Thing. Not to mention Spectre that he was introducing in Constantine.
Oh my God.
Phantom Stranger and Swamp Thing. Blue Devil. Xanadu. Characters that are beloved by a rabid fan base, and we will never see them in movies because they're not Superman. They're not Batman. They're not Wonder Woman. They're not Aquaman. And I am a huge fan of Verhaeden. The dude knows how to play to us, to the niche audiences that love these types of things. And it's just such a shame that this is strike two for the guy. The guy is obviously talented as hell. He obviously loves DC property, specifically the stuff we're drawn to. And I'm hoping he's given a third chance of something great. Maybe it can be like, you know, dude, what if they gave him Swamp Thing Constantine? You know, it's a duo show.
Give it to me.
I mean, shit, dude. Talk about being able to bring closure to two of his characters. That would be a dream come true.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Well, that concludes this discussion and our final discussion on Swamp Thing, the TV show, original programming from DC Universe. I want to thank everybody who has listened and stuck with us throughout this discussion. You can find all of our shows, our DC on RMD shows, on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and Google Play. Just search DC on RMD. Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, man, no problem.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
And good night.
The Defender of the Green.